I want to take a second to remind you to sign up for the Poso Daily Brief. It is completely free. It'll be one email that's sent to you every day. You can stop the endless scrolling, trying to find out what's going on in your world. We will have this delivered directly to you, totally for free. Go to humanevents.com/Poso. Sign up today. It's called the Poso Daily Brief. Read what I read for show prep. You will not regret it. Humanevents.com/Poso. Totally free. The Poso Daily Brief.
We are in a fifth generational conflict. For every lie they tell, we're going to get in their face and yell two truths.
This is Human Events with your host, Jack Posobiec.
Christ is King.
And earlier today, China's space authorities announced a plan to land China's first Taikonauts on the moon by 2030.
K4. The NATO forces will take all necessary actions to maintain a safe and secure environment for all citizens in Kosovo. And we will continue to act impartially in line with our United Nations mandate.
Do you find it surprising that the defense budget is even bigger now than it was when we were fighting two wars?
I am surprised by it, number one. And number two, there's a lot of fat at the Department of Defense that we can cut. The procurement process and other areas we should be looking at very hard.
And it's ballot harvesting. We will become masters at ballot harvesting. We have no choice. Beating the Democrats at their own game. And we'll do it legally. The agenda I've laid out today will end America's destruction.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard today's edition of Human Events with your humble host, Jack Posobiec. Today is May 31st, 2023, Anno Domini. The calm before the storm, the coming storm tomorrow. Brace yourselves, as Pride Month is upon us. Yes, we know, of course, the day that all of the companies, all of the brands, all of our favorite brands, I know your favorite brands, my favorite brands, like Target, like Bud Light, like the LA Dodgers, like Chick-fil-A, apparently, are all going to be going woke. Everybody telling us what we need to do with our children, the indoctrination that needs to be done with them. Target, Benny Johnson, by the way, getting an incredible scoop on Target. Shout out to Benny on there. Actually showing that at Target, they specifically send out national orders to determine where everything on their display is set. That means that there was a national order to put all of that Pride merchandise, all of that out there for your children and everyone's children that goes into a Target. Well, welcome. Because here in Human Events, we're going to push back on all of it, and we're not afraid to call out what's actually going on in the world. China's going to the moon. China is focused on space development. China is focused on heading to the future. You look at what China is doing and you look at what we're focused on. We are totally up our own navels on this one. Because while we are constantly trying to divide each other, while we are trying to play the diversity Olympics, while we're trying to play the grievance Olympics, we're trying to make up our own genders. We're trying to make up our own biological nuances of the species. What's China focused on? China's building their One Belt, One Road. The BRICS nations are ever expanding. Look at the massive list of nations that has applied to join BRICS. You think that would be going on if the United States were still strong? If the United States were still top dog? If the U.S. dollar were still king in the world? Of course not. That's why One Belt, One Road is stretching out across the globe. The wings of the dragon are stretching from Beijing. And we here at home, we're not focused on going to the moon. We're certainly not focused on going to Mars. We're arguing over everybody. We're getting in everyone's face. We're screaming about it. We're demonizing countries that we could be working with to contain China, to deal with the rise of China, but we're not. China's focused on territory control, territorial expansion, resource extraction around the world, and they're focused on technology and they're pushing it forward. They're training their children to be focused on a forward-focused economy. Because look, when I was there, I'll tell you, that's exactly what they all told me. When I worked in China, when I lived in China, they used to say that now at the time, the exchange rate was 1 to 8. So it was 1 Chinese yuan to 8 US, or I have it backwards, 1 US dollar to 8 Chinese yuan. But you know what? They would come to me and say, we want to see the exchange rate switch. They would come to me and say, I'll never forget this one. This is people I worked with, by the way, and they weren't saying this in a hateful way, in an angry way. They were just saying it matter of fact. They said, we want to see a world where Chinese parents are one day adopting American babies. Do you want to live in a world where Chinese families are adopting American babies? Because I'll tell you right now, that's exactly where we're headed for if we don't get our act together. If we are not laser focused on trade, immigration, and foreign policy, if we continue to be distracted by petty grievances, by past grievances, historical differences, historical revisionism, intra-party squabbles, China's going to eat our lunch. The rest of the country, the rest of the world is sick of it, and they are going to leave us in the dust. You think they want to go on? Do you think so many countries want to go on with our proxy war in Ukraine and at the same time launch another proxy war in the East China Sea over Taiwan? At the same time that you're seeing Russia use Iranian drones with these swarm tactics across Kiev, and then Ukraine responding, as we talked about yesterday, with their attack on Moscow, the rest of the world looked at this and they're saying, you know what? We want to find a way out of the paradigm. We want to find a way out of the box. And they don't care. You know, there was actually an African leader who said this recently. It resonated with me. And I thought it was something that was so important, because he said, you know, when the Americans come, we get a lecture. When the Chinese come, we get a road. We get a hospital. And so when we're focused on the presidential race and how we conduct the presidential race, we're going to have Tyler Boyer on, we're going to have Raheem Kassam after him to dig into this. We need to understand with clear eyes the challenges that we face as a country. And we need to understand that the next president needs to come in without any on-the-job training. Foreign policy has to be number one. You have to understand the tie between the globalist plot to take away American manufacturing, American wealth, American jobs, ship them overseas. There's a reason that the Midwest looks the way it does, the South looks the way it does, the Rust Belt looks the way it does. Those jobs were stolen from the American people, they were handed to China, and our borders were left wide open. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with Tyler Boyer.
Evelyn, stop buzzing in my ear about the boring people at your office. I'm trying to listen to the new human events.
And it's ballot harvesting. We will become masters at ballot harvesting. We have no choice. Beating the Democrats at their own game. And we'll do it legally. The agenda I've laid out today will end America's destruction.
Becoming masters of ballot harvesting. Talked about this when we ended the show yesterday, and we are going to get into it now as well, because this is something where, look, I understand that there's a lot of people out there that don't want to do this, that don't like this. And you know what? I'm with you. I'm one of the people that doesn't want to conduct elections this way. I want to go back to one election day, one person, one vote, in person, with voter ID. But you know what? I'm not in charge of the laws in the blue states. And neither are you, and neither is Donald Trump, and neither is our next guest, Tyler Boyer, the chief operating officer of Turning Point Action. But we're bringing Tyler on today because he's got a plan how to get us out of this mess. Tyler, thanks for joining us here once again on Human Events.
Jack, thanks for having me.
So Tyler, walk me through this. I hate ballot harvesting. I hate the idea of it. But where are we at on it?
Yeah, I mean, look, so the way I best explain it is we have to have election integrity. Like you said, one day, one vote, trying to prevent all this in as many states as we possibly can. That's our defense, and defenses win championships. And so I cannot go without saying that that is the most important thing that we possibly can doing. And God bless those individuals across the country who are fighting the good fight at the county level, who are trying to prevent these crazy machine situations that are really impacting our elections. But look, where we are at today is this, is, and you said it, is that for these low propensity ballots, how the left is winning is they put an infrastructure together of almost 100 different organizations in some of these key target states that they go through independently. And this isn't run by the Democrat Party. This is run by nonprofits, C4s, soft money that are out there that are going and collecting ballots from communities of interest. And in some states, it's legal to harvest. In many states, we call it ballot chasing, which is that they're going and harassing people at their doors who are not likely to vote, saying, look, I'm not going to leave you alone. Or your friend down the street sent me to pick up your ballot or help you fill out your ballot. And then they're helping that person walk into their mailbox and vote. And so this is the reason why we're seeing such large increases in numbers this last two election cycles, from low propensity, sometimes younger voters, some in minority communities that don't typically vote, because the left has perfected with all these different organizations going out and chasing these ballots down. So at this point, our job has to be, is we have to say, look, we have to have a good defense. Good defenses win championships. We know we have to protect elections and election integrity, try to get back to one day, you know, turn the clocks back 10 years to how votes used to be cast. But in these places where they've manipulated the votes, they're manipulating the community, we've got to get in there and help prevent it. And there's no better election integrity than putting boots on the ground to, you know, do the same work or similar work and prevent people from getting harassed and manipulated by leftist thugs who are out there doing the ballot collection from low propensity less likely to vote voters.
And when you're talking about these low propensity voters, you and I were having a conversation the other day offline. We were talking specifically about millennials, Gen Z. I think you also saw this in 2020 and in 2022 in certain. And by the way, these are the key states we're talking about. We're talking about Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and I think it's of no secret to anybody that Wisconsin is going to be a key state. Obviously, it's where the RNC has decided to hold its convention in 2024. This will be the first convention that the RNC has held since 2016. You're an RNC national committee man. So we know the emphasis is on Wisconsin. But in Wisconsin, the Democrats are a generation ahead of us when it comes to micro-targeting, when it comes to super seniors, and when it comes to these other operations with boots on the ground. And the Republicans, I just haven't seen put this other outside of Scott Pressler, I haven't seen the emphasis on this tactical level. So sure, we've got great messaging, we've great policies. I agree. I think they're awesome. But I do not see the tactical infrastructure in place in order to win the level at the way that the Democrats are, because they changed the elections to make it about ballots rather than getting your people out to the vote.
Yeah, and this is the point, right? So we're working closely with Scott Pressler in Early Vote Action. So we have Turning Point Action, Tea Party Patriots Action, and Early Vote Action, who have come together and said, hey, we're the largest ground force that could possibly ever be assembled. We've got to come together to work together to essentially put this together in record time in order to win in 2024. Because if we don't do that, as you mentioned, in Wisconsin, in Georgia, Arizona, the left has isolated. This isn't secret, right? There's only 270 electoral votes to win the presidency. So you have to isolate those states that we know we have to win, because the left is targeting those as well. And we have to somewhat at least show up to match that. That means tech infrastructure, but most importantly, that's bodies. And what the left has figured out is, you know, it's like Moneyball, right? If you've ever seen the movie Moneyball, it's a statistic. It's a statistics game. If you get so many people registered to vote, if you get so many people requested on early ballots, and then you put so many bodies out there that are full-time embedded in the community, you're more likely to win. And if you win the county levels, then they can start manipulating elections. If you win the Secretary of State's role, then you start manipulating elections. And then you can win everything else. And so it's not impossible to figure out or fathom that, look, Democrats are spending $30, $40, $50 million in some of these states, not for the heck of it, because they could just simply flip a switch, but because they need these bodies as part of that money ball system to aid their voter manipulation, which they're doing for sure in trying to change our election laws. So this is
Tyler, we've got 1 minute in the segment here. Tell everybody what is the website that you want people to go to, and we'll hold you over for the next segment because I want to ask you some more about the details here.
Yeah, I mean, we are at tpaction.com. You can go there. We're going to be recruiting towards the end of this year for the early ballot chase. And it's actually going to start probably sometime this summer that we're going to have our website up, that we're going to be putting it up there. You're going to be able to find that at tpaction.com/chase. But for now, it's getting involved, getting in the community, and getting to know your neighbors so we can prepare them for the vote cycle ahead. So we can chase those ballots on your street, in your neighborhood. Everyone's responsible for 10 votes.
This is so important because what he's talking about is you have to be able to identify what it is that a person is so highly motivated on that it will get them to put a ballot in the mail or in a drop box for. This is called micro-targeting. We're going to get into that with Tyler when we come back because this is the key to winning elections in these states. It's about ballots now, not votes. It's about ballots. Stay tuned. So we're back here, Human Events Daily. You know, Tyler, we just had you on. We're talking about the use of statistics, the use of networking, the use of big data and micro-targeting in conjunction with ballot harvesting operations. You know, I got a buddy, put it this way, he formerly worked in Major League Baseball. He texts me after your Moneyball reference there, and he goes, identifying undervalued assets or underutilized incentives as his definition for exactly what we need to be able to, because here's what Republicans have been doing, and we're still doing this. This is why I said, and to be clear, right, a ballot is still a vote, but there's a difference between the behavior of, and we have to modify our behavior when it comes to ballots versus votes. We have to understand the difference, and go check out Conservative Treehouse if you want to know what the difference between what I mean by ballots versus votes. Getting a ballot in is something that can take place any time within a predetermined set of time or a predetermined method, whether it be drop boxes, which I hope we're going to get up at churches wherever possible, outside of gun shops, gun shows, country music, whatever, that voting, this idea of everybody get out and everybody, you know, the idea is drive your person out, drive your guy out, GOTV, get out the vote. What they've done is they've changed the way that we entirely hold elections. So if you can, Tyler, walk us through this process, curating a ballot. How do you actually take somebody? So right, I've got my community. I've got the people that I know who live up and down the street. You know, I kind of know who's like more of a Trump supporter, who's more of a Democrat, et cetera. But how do I take that person and get them to the point where their ballot is in?
Yeah, I mean, look, so this is what the left did, and this is good, important to understand. The left, when they started this process, Jared Polis, who was just a nerd, a tech nerd, who had no ambition, I don't think at any point, to actually ever run for office. They just did it so effectively in Colorado because their entire mantra was this, if I could oversimplify it, was we don't care who helps us as long as it helps get more Democrat votes into the ballot box. So at the end of the day, their job, they don't care if they have disagreement over pro-life, you know, blue dog stuff. They don't care if they have disagreement over firearms. If the organization helps get more ballots into the box, that's the objective. That's the goal. And so when you're talking about micro-targeting, this is important to understand. This is why having an infrastructure of 100 or hundreds of different organizations matter, because they're all focused on specific pockets and neighborhoods that are interested. Now, the big piece that most people don't talk about with this, you know, this makes sense. This is common sense. This has been a practice for a long time. Obviously, gun owners go to gun owners and try to get them to vote. And pro-life people go to pro-life people who try to get them to vote. But the tech is really what's making the difference in this. And we all know Eric. Many of your viewers are familiar with Eric and how that system. The reason why the Democrats have implemented Eric is because they want to get data out faster. And if they're able to get data out faster, well, then they're able to text blast, like text message, a large swath, especially of young people, and say, hey, what are you interested in? Once they're able to identify if they're interested in a subject, then they can go approach that door. And sometimes that's down to the last minute. That's down to the last day or two before the election. around an issue, a specific issue, or something that's come up in the news. And so they're just doing this much more quickly, and they're much more effective because their tech that they're using is much more advanced. And so that's really the core of where our problems are within the movement. And these are things that we're solving. And again, I mentioned we're working together closely with Scott Pressler and Tea Party Patriots Action with Jenny Beth Martin over there and a number of others to identify and isolate, hey, we've got to build a tech stack that's going to be able to support the ballot chasing operation in these states so we can move much more quickly and fight the battle, that the war that we're in, basically with Eric. And that's the reason why Republicans and conservatives have to fight and to get that removed from their state. Because the sooner that you do that, the more likely we are going to be victorious in these swing states.
Right, because at a certain point, you know, obviously you and I are talking about, okay, our neighborhood, my neighborhood, your neighborhood, but this isn't just about the neighborhood work. It's also about scaling when you're looking at this from an entire statewide operation. It's about where I'm talking about identifying underutilized assets, like my friend over talking Moneyball. That idea is, who are the people that would be willing to vote for the nominee? And I'm not even going to get into that right now for this the purposes of this, because, by the way, regardless of if you're a Trump supporter or you're a DeSantis supporter, this is going to affect you. The question is, where are those pockets of support? Because where are those buckets of ballots that I can get in, and how do we identify that as quickly as possible, and how do we get the ballots in as fast as possible? This is also something, by the way, where, believe it or not, social media influencers can play a role, because you can have someone who's out there. Look at a Dylan Mulvaney. You know, we crack so many jokes about Dylan Mulvaney. We've been able to use the Dylan Mulvaney situation incredibly for Bud Light. But you know what? I bet you if they go to Dylan Mulvaney and they say, we're going to get all the trans activists and all the people that are pro-trans to fill out their ballots, they're going to do it. And that's going to be however many hundreds of thousands of people. And it's going to be, okay, tonight we're doing Wisconsin. Tonight we're doing Arizona. Tomorrow we're doing Pennsylvania, et cetera, et cetera. They've got people already set that up. You're looking at an operation. This is a sophisticated, advanced operation that the right is laughing about, but we're whistling past the graveyard. 2 minutes, Tyler Boyer.
Well, and that's exactly right. So let's take the Dylan Mulvaney example. You're exactly right, Jack. So most of America, in fact, only a small fraction of America supports the Dylan Mulvaney. We can see that with the sales of Bud Light that has dropped significantly, right? So there's just not a lot of people that are out there. But what the left has done, they've been able to equip this, and they've used corporate America for this for a long time. Once you've identified the people who do support that, now you can go approach their door and get their ballot much easier, because now you know what gets them going. Now you know what's exciting to that person. And so a lot of people are like, how is it that they're able to win with 3 or 4% of their electorate supporting crazy things like child genitalia mutilation and crazy things that are way outside the spectrum of the norm?
Right. So you've got to find that specific issue. We got Tyler. Sorry, we only got 1 minute left, but I want you to also remind everybody that not only are you running these operations, but you're also putting on a huge event down in West Palm Beach in just a couple of months here with, I believe, a pretty big headliner.
Yeah. To finish that, this is what our we have to do. We have to organize people, identify them, and get them. That's why we're hosting ATCON, our action conference that's happening down in West Palm Beach next month in July. We're hosting President Trump is speaking. We have a big announcement coming today of someone that you don't want to miss. And so if you're in the Florida area or you can make it down for that, we'd love to have you. It's tpaction.com/ATCON. And we are going to be promoting that quite a bit here.
Tyler Boyer, thanks so much for joining us. Turning Point Action. Breaking news, by the way, out of Marjorie Taylor Greene's office. The January 6th tapes are now being released. We can now report that Speaker McCarthy has given just the news that's John Solomon as well as Julie Kelly from The American Greatness, the great Julie Kelly, who we love, we've had on the show many times. And she says a third outlet, mysterious third outlet, unfettered access to the January 6th tapes. If we were running Drudge Report, I'd put the alarm up on that one. Huge breaking news. This is the transparency that the American people deserve, and I certainly look forward to reporting this as soon as it comes out. You know, I got to get on the phone with the Speaker's office. Hey, producer Angelo, get in here. Let me know when we can get those tapes. I want access. I want access to this. And you're giving it to Solomon? You're giving it to Kelly? No. Human events need some access in there. We're going to get to it. Folks, this ballot harvesting stuff, it's not the future. It's not a nightmare. It's reality. So either we get with it. Now, I'm not talking about the 38 states that Republicans control. I'm talking about the blue states and in particular the purple states that are in the middle. And if you look at all the ones I just mentioned, Georgia, Arizona, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan. So you got those two, that state in the deep south of Georgia, the southwest of Arizona, and then those three Rust Belt states. What happened there? Those were all the states, those five states in particular, were targeted by the Democrats for ballot harvesting and universal mail-in ballot laws. Why do you suppose that was? Why do you suppose that was? And then, Arizona, we could even talk about what they did in Arizona in terms of these voting centers, and you guys all know about the issues with Maricopa County. But we are going to have, very excited to let you know, we have the great Scott Pressler, the persistence himself, will be joining us to break all this down. Now, we do have, I'm told, Mr. Raheem Kassam, the editor-in-chief of the National Polls. But before Raheem joins us, I want to play a clip of Governor Ron DeSantis out on the campaign trail in Iowa yesterday.
So look, I'm going to respond to attacks. I mean, if you say Cuomo did a better job with COVID than Florida did, first of all, that's not what he used to say. This is like new. Like 6 months ago, he would have never said that, right? He used to say how great Florida was. Hell, his whole family moved to Florida under my governorship. Are you kidding me? So some of this stuff, I think, is, look, if someone is saying that, I am gonna counterpunch. I'm going to fight back on it.
All right, Governor DeSantis taking the gloves off there. One of the first times that I've seen that. I mean, certainly he's got his online surrogates. He's got other people out there throwing punches. This is one of the first times that I think I've really seen him throw down like this. And I wonder if it's because he wasn't seeing that big bump in the polls that his announcement last week was supposed to create. But before I start handicapping myself, I wanted to bring on Raheem Kassam, because I know you've been handicapping on this. What do you think about that take there, Raheem?
Well, and thanks for having me, Jack. I think if that was taking the gloves off, we better take a long, hard look at those gloves, because they seem lacy and white, and he removed them very gently and slowly. I don't think that was a particularly good take, and here's why, right? He says, oh, his whole family moved to Florida under my governorship. Yeah, and you are governor because of what he did in endorsing you. And that's how you got there in the first instance. He's also had Mar-a-Lago for a very long time that predates Governor DeSantis, by the way. And the other part of it is, well, he couldn't exactly live in Midtown Manhattan anymore, right? So it doesn't work at a logical level. And here's why I don't think it works at a campaigning level either. So Trump is obviously using this Cuomo thing, not because he believes it, but he's using it as a cudgel. He's using it as a draw to get these people to come out and attack him back. And the funny thing is, it works. He baited them successfully. They're now being defensive about a value proposition that a few months ago they were claiming was their killer app, right? The COVID stuff, the task force, the Fauci, the vaccines, the Florida, all of that interrelated. But now somehow they're defending on that same issue. So, you know,
I want to bring that up with you specifically, because I saw your tweet on it where you pointed out, and I hadn't even occurred to, I don't think anybody, because people were saying, what the heck is Trump doing? He's bringing up Cuomo. Why would you ever want to, you know, this is your arch nemesis, the arch Democrat, someone who was a potential rival for the presidency before the Democrats took him out. And that's because the National Party has always hated Cuomo, but that's a long story. This was the guy that you thought you were going to be running against, and suddenly you're using him to attack DeSantis. But you had the point that what Trump actually did was reframe the entire discussion away from lockdowns to the subject of deaths, and actually get it to the point where the surrogates now have to be defensive of the record rather than be on the offense. Walk us through that.
Yeah, that's right. Listen, you know, on any given issue, on any given day, it's better to be, you know, on the offensive than defensive. And there's nobody who knows that better than Donald Trump, right? And so, you know, Ron DeSantis likes to pronounce his name Ron DeSantis. I think today this is Ron Defensive is what we're seeing. And you know, this is an issue that should be an easy dunk for Tallahassee. But there's been turmoil in Tallahassee now for the last, 10 days since the botched launch. And then they had to remove one of their senior advisors, Phil Cox. And then they're getting no polling bump. And now they're getting drawn into a defensive over Trump's statements. It's so clear that they do not know what they're going up against here, that I've said it for months, that these Jeff Rowe, Ted Cruz campaign people were going to commit campaign malpractice around a good governor, by the way, in Ron DeSantis, somebody who should be running as a good governor right now, running the state of Florida, instead of these consultants getting rich off his what I think is going to be a fairly short-lived political campaign. They're showing it every day that they don't know how to deal with Trump, and they're jumping from issue to issue. They're mass blocking their friends on Twitter who call them out on it. It's embarrassing, it's insulting, and I think people are seeing through it.
Now we've got about 1 minute left here, Raheem, but I want to hold you over because the key is, you know, sure, there's the online stuff, and you and I are guiltier more than anyone of being too online and very online. But then there's also a question of running a campaign.
How dare you?
And a campaign needs to be run. No, yeah, I'm going there. And of course, we all know about you and your lacy gloves. This is how Raheem knows about the lacy gloves. He's the one who brought them in the first place.
No, mine are marigolds. Mine are washing up gloves.
Oh, but it's still lace. And so the way you have to run a campaign is different from the way that you might run, say, you know, a Twitter hashtag campaign. And when we come back here with Raheem Kassam, I want to break that down and really look at how do we think the campaigns, both the Trump campaign and the DeSantis campaign, are resonating. And we're back here, Human Events, Jack Posobiec. We are live with Raheem Kassam of the National Poll. So, Raheem, in the last segment, you know, we were going back and forth. We were you know, bantering about, jocularly, about the very online nature of politics today. But there is a part of the world to where the online side doesn't necessarily have primacy, and that actually is the actual primary itself, the actual campaign trail. Places like Iowa, places like New Hampshire, places like, you know, I just spent the weekend in Pennsylvania. You were in Pennsylvania last weekend. I remember meeting with my cousins. We went to a horse show. You know, these are people that they're not spending all day on social media. I mean, my cousin might go on, she'll post a few photos of her kids, what she's doing, what she's up to. She's going to vote Trump. She's a Trump supporter. She knows she likes Trump. She says, let's go, Brandon. Family feels the same way. But she's not paying attention to the ins and outs of political Twitter. And this is something that I know came up in the UK a number of times with the Labour Party, this idea that Twitter is not real life. And so how is this actually playing out with, if you want to handicap, the on-the-ground race, the real race, as it were?
Look, I think if they spent a lot more time in Tallahassee actually doing the nuts and bolts of campaigning, they may have had a poll bump by now. They may be talked about seriously, but they're not. They're talked about on Twitter. They're talked about an awful lot on Twitter. A lot of accounts that were made within the last 30 days that have, you know, pictures of nothing, anonymous, weird, all, you know, bot-like names, John 5, 8, 9, 3, 4, 1, 2, 8. You know, they're talking about.
Let me pop here. We got breaking news. Just out. I'm seeing this on Disclose. Mike Pence to launch his 2024 campaign next week in Des Moines, Iowa. Mm. So there you go. If this was some commanding lead they had, you would not see this.
And the poor man's Peter Griffin, you know, Chris Christie also entering the race. Look, Twitter, turmoil, Tallahassee, it's a lot of T's for a campaign that is pretty low T at this point. I think that is the way I'm looking at this. If they actually knew how to run a proper national campaign, you wouldn't see them, you know, you don't see the Trump people grinding their wheels on Twitter all day. You just don't see it. And I think it speaks volumes about what they're actually doing there.
No, I'd agree with you. And I do think, look, and to be fair, you know, so we had Richard Barrasson yesterday. He said that he was not seeing any movement in the numbers. The Morning Consult poll came out this morning. The only movement they're showing is it's a 2-point bump, but their margin of error is also 2 points. So the only movement they're seeing is within the margin of error for Governor DeSantis. That has to, to me, my thesis is this is why that he is, in his own way, taking the gloves off and making those statements directly against President Trump. Because, you know, remember before it was always these sort of implied statements, things about the culture of losing or turning the country over to authoritarians like Fauci, et cetera. But he would never come out and actually attack the former president. Now we're starting to see that. Now that's coming off because you see what he's doing is actually trying, I believe, to gain more traction because he wants to make this a race between him and Trump. But at the same time, to your point, you've got Pence now saying that he's going to come in. You got Christie now saying that he's going to come in. And you might even see one, two more beyond this. This is not the commanding lead that the governor, that Tallahassee would have wanted by now.
Yeah, I don't think people have faith in him beyond his donor class that, you know, they've always been that sort of country club class of originally Ted Cruz supporters. Beyond that, there's not really anything going on there. I agree.
So let me take this in another tack because we do have another piece of breaking news. That is the fact that, and I hit this just as we were going into launching the show this morning. I had the whole thing sent to me. You've got a piece up in the National Pulse. James O'Keefe has been sued by Project Veritas after being ousted from the board. What's going on? What's the lawsuit? What's the bottom line?
Yeah, it's really interesting. You know, Project Veritas has been quite quiet since its departure of its CEO and founder, James O'Keefe. And, you know, I think quite quiet. They've released some stories, but they haven't really got much traction. They obviously lost a lot of supporters on the political right when all of that went down. So I guess this response now today that has come out, they have a dedicated website now that walks people through their version of events and the chronological order of events as far as the Project Veritas board sees it. And they've also filed a rather large lawsuit in New York against James O'Keefe and against his new company, O'Keefe Media Group. The suit is up on the website on thenationalpulse.com if people want to read it in full. But effectively, it alleges that James O'Keefe was not fired when he founded O'Keefe Media. He was actually just temporarily suspended while they were doing an investigation into, you know, expenses and black cars and private jets and all of this stuff. And so they're saying that he is in breach of contract with them for having set up a new organization while he was still employed by the old organization. The pushback online to that, and they're demanding, you know, compensatory damages and all of this stuff for everything that's taken place here. And the pushback online against that is, well, you stopped paying him. So what was he supposed to do? So it's going to be interesting. But, you know, the Veritas drama is far from over by the looks of it.
No, it seems that way. And again, this is the same type of lawfare that we've seen being used, whether it's Fox News and Tucker, the Dominion lawsuit, whether it's Trump. This is unfortunately, so many of these things coming in and out. Raheem, we've got about 90 seconds left. What is going on? Give us an update at the National Pulse, because you guys was a big news.
Yeah, look, we relaunched the site about a week ago, and we have redesigned it. We have changed the way we do news there now. It's not about keeping you on the site, bombarding you with adverts or anything like that. I basically just got sick of browsing the internet and having to close pop-ups and all of this stuff all the time. So we went back to the drawing board, set up this new site. We have a wonderful membership thing now where you can join up and support real news, right? Support how news should be done with respect to the reader, not with respect to the advertisers. And so I encourage people to check it out. In addition to it, all the news items always being free on the Pulse, thenationalpulse.com. We also have this great new members section. We have a strategic partnership now with Flaccus Talks, great podcast, Steak for Breakfast, great podcast, War Room, which I'm sure a lot of people know, and we'll be adding more and more to those. So if people want to come and check out thenationalpulse.com, first month, if you want to join up and support the work, first month is free. So as a great man once said, what do you have to lose?
What do you have to lose? Well, I've signed up on there. I'm a contributing member. I love it. I like how clean it looks. I think it's great. Good luck to you, Raheem. Really appreciate it. And all the work yourself. Steak for breakfast, Fleckus, and everybody over at the National Pulse. Folks, I want to take a second to tell you about our friends over at Allegiance Gold. Now, we know that we can't stop Joe Biden. We can't stop Bidenflation. We're fighting it. But this has been the issue the Federal Reserve continues to keep printing and printing and printing. And that is why you and your family needs to protect your assets, protect your future with precious metals. And our friends over at Allegiance Gold are going to help you do that. When you go and visit protectwithposo.com right now, today, you just hop on over, whether you're watching here, Human Events Daily at work, whatever you're doing, protectwithposo.com, you can now get up to $5,000 in free silver on a qualifying purchase from protectwithposo.com over at Allegiance Gold. This is the way to hedge against whatever's going on in the future, to hedge against the ups and downs of the stock market, to hedge against whether you're getting into, look, I know a lot of people got into crypto over the past couple of years, but you know about the roller coaster that crypto has been. Precious metals will not do you like that. So head on over, protectwithposo.com, and protect your family today. Look, when Tyler was on earlier, he wasn't able to get the full information out, I think, about the Turning Point Action Conference. I want to make sure that I tell you guys about that right now. Go to tpaction.com right now, and you can sign up for the Turning Point Action Conference, July 15th and 16th. This event will be taking place in West Palm Beach. It's going to be an incredible event. You've got people. I'll be speaking there, of course, as well as President Trump, Charlie Kirk, the great Dan Bongino, Steve Bannon, Senator Josh Hawley, J.D. Vance, Matt Gaetz, Lauren Boebert, Benny Johnson, Vivek Ramaswamy, and Bernie Moreno. And apparently, Tyler has told us that there is going to be some breaking news today on this. Look, we're going to have Scott Pressler on tomorrow, and it's very important for us to have Scott Pressler on. Why? Because this is the guy who, from the very start, knew exactly how the fight was going, that it wasn't going to be a fight about strategy. It's not going to be a fight about message. It's a fight about tactics. So I want Scott Pressler. By the way, I'm going to say something to Tyler after the show today. Charlie, if I have to, whatever. I want Scott Pressler at Turning Point Action. Because this needs to be front and center. We need all hands on deck. This year, 2023, you can start identifying voters. We begin the targeting right now in those key states. And if you live near a key state, then you can deploy to that key state. Then you can reach out to people in that key state. If you're a social media influencer, if you're a contributor, if you're someone who's one of the members of one of these groups out there, okay, we can squabble and we can fight online and we can yell at each other and make memes at each other all day long, but you know what's going to happen? The civil war on the right will tear each other apart, and the globalist technocrats will walk Joe Biden down the middle. They will prop him up with a stick like it's Weekend at Bernie's, if they have to keep him on the ballot. Because Joe Biden isn't the one calling the shots, folks. It's the people in power. You know, it's actually funny. You got people out there like Jamie Dimon, the CEO of JP Morgan Chase, saying, well, maybe I'll just run for president. Oh, great. So we'll just hand the White House directly over to the bankers. Then we don't even need this guy who's deep in bed with China, this guy who's deep in bed with all of it, totally in bed with the system. You're going to take away even the pretense of elected government and just have the oligarchs directly running the White House with Jamie Dimon. Bill Ackerman's out there saying, oh, I think Jamie Dimon, he's a wonderful centrist. He'll get up, because this is what they want, folks. This is what they want. They want low taxes for corporations. They want abortion on demand. They want open borders so that we have migrants pouring in every single day. They say, oh, they're just asylum seekers. These are economic migrants. We know that. Michael Yon has done the work on this. Ben Berquam, the great Ben Berquam, has done the work on this. And they're going to put us deeper and deeper into the pocket of China. Until the point where the dragon's wings have enveloped us completely, and there's no way out. I don't want to live like that. I don't want America to be like that. I want America to be strong. I want America to be an independent and free nation state. And that is why when I talk about foreign policy, when I talk about the Rust Belt, you must understand these issues are intrinsically linked. Our trade agreements directly affect the wealth and well-being of the Rust Belt, directly affect the wealth and well-being in the manufacturing base of this country, which was gutted by design. Look, after 1989, the events of June 4th, we're talking about the dragon right now, the Chinese Communist Party, that mowed down thousands of troops in Tiananmen Square. Could we have knocked them over? Could we cut them off? Could we have treated them the way that we treated Russia when Russia invaded Ukraine, cut them off, sanctioned them from everything? No, we didn't. What did we do? General Scowcroft went to Beijing on a secret trip to make a secret deal, and this is where the seeds of globalism were born out of the blood of Tiananmen Square. They said, we're going to make a new deal. You're going to be the labor. You're going to be the manufacturers. You're going to be the factory of the world. Western IP, Western capital is going to flow in. That's Jamie Dimon. That's the role he plays now. And we're all going to get rich. And we're going to screw over the people in the middle. We're going to screw over the people in the South because you know what? We don't need them. And we're going to go off to our super yachts and our spaceships and everything else. And you guys, sure, you'll get your big screen TVs and you'll get your metaverse. And you'll get your transhumanism, and you won't pay attention. All the while, you'll be slowly, slowly put to sleep and sucked into the matrix, and your children will be born in there, and you'll forget about God, you'll forget about freedom, you'll forget about the spirit of being a free American. Well, let me tell you something. There's a reason they attack everybody with the lawfare like we're seeing right now, against Trump, against James O'Keefe, Tucker, all of them. There's a reason that they take down everybody they can who stands up for the freedom of the American. Yeah, I'll say it, Alex Jones as well. Because you know what? We're the people standing in their way. And Steve Bannon too, by the way. They want to put Steve Bannon in jail over this. Remember, it's not hypocrisy, it's hierarchy. The two-tier system of justice. This is who they're fighting for. And if you don't have a candidate, if you don't have a movement, if you don't have people who aren't smart on these issues, who aren't talking about these issues, then you need to get serious. And that's why I appreciate what Turning Point Action is doing, because we're getting serious and we're putting the work in. That's why we had Tyler on today. That's why we'll have Scott Presser on tomorrow. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, you have my permission to lay ashore.